Good to see you here this morning. Take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. As the children of Israel began to get established in the land of Canaan, they began to put in place some things that God had instructed before that should be taking place when they got to the land. There were some things that were specific to the new land and really wouldn't have been appropriate beforehand. They couldn't have what we look at this morning, cities of refuge in the wilderness. But when they got into the land, this was one of those things that God had instructed would be need to be established. And God had given that instruction back in Numbers chapter 35. And we won't take the time to look at them. But these cities of refuge, as they were called, were designed by the Lord. You know, sometimes we read the details of Israel's journeys, and we read the details of what God told Israel to do, and we kind of scratch our heads and we say, well, I understand that that was good for them, but we're not living there, and we're not living then, we're living now. What is this application? Is it simply a historical fact? Well, it is a historical fact. And that's great to know the practical information that God gave to Israel. But the Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So that's good. We say, well, we can learn history. But it goes on to say that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So that tells us it's more than a historical record. There's something we can learn from these things that God told to Israel, some applications for our life to help us spiritually. And such is the case with these cities of refuge that we will read about this morning here in Joshua chapter 20. They have an application for all time. We all need a refuge in our life. On a day like today, inside is a refuge. When you've been outside and it's drizzly and kind of dreary, it's nice to get inside where it's warm, it's dry. That's a refuge from the weather. But there's more than that, of course, in our life. There are times that we need a refuge, spiritually speaking. And thankfully, as we'll see in the message this morning, there is a place of refuge. And so we'll read here in Joshua chapter 20 the establishment of these cities, and then we'll consider the application for them in our lives today. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he shall stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come into his own city, and to his own house, and to the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we are thankful for our text. Lord, it's not just a historical record, but we thank you that it has meaning for us today. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to that which you have given to us in the message today, that we would realize the refuge that is available to us, not only physically in our homes and places such as that, but, Lord, also spiritually, there is a place of refuge for our souls. And for that, we are so thankful. And so, Lord, bless our hearts with these thoughts today and speak to us, Lord, I pray, if there be anyone here this morning who has never come to Jesus, to be spared from the wrath to come. Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. And for those of us who know you, may we find our refuge in you in the troubles and trials of life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we look at these thoughts. I want to see the purpose of the cities. We've read it in the first six verses of the chapters. God had a specific purpose in mind for six cities spread throughout Israel. They were called the cities of refuge. It wasn't something just sounded good. It wasn't just something to say, well, you know, we'll make some cities feel special by giving them something, a special name, and call them the cities of refuge. No, there was a particular reason that God had said that there would be six cities called cities of refuge spread throughout the land of Israel. What is a refuge? That is the question. Of course, we say, well, I think I know what a refuge is. We hear a lot about refugees today, of course, because there's turmoil in our world and people are coming to places such as Canada where we have thankfully, a very stable life and a safe place for the most part. And that's a great blessing. And so people come to Canada as a refuge. It's a great thing to live in a place that is a refuge. And we are thankful for the safety that God gives us here. But the word refuge actually means that which shelters or protects from danger, distress, or calamity. That fits with why people are coming to Canada. They're looking for a place where they are protected and sheltered from danger, distress, calamity. A stronghold which protects by its strength, or a sanctuary which secures safely by its sacredness any place inaccessible by the enemy. That's a refuge, a place of safety, a place where you can go and say, I feel safe here. I feel protected here. That is what God was establishing and wanted established in Israel, a safe place for particular people, people who had inadvertently taken the life of somebody else, to protect them from the avenger of blood, as the Bible tells us here. Those family or friends who may feel like they needed to take revenge upon the death of their loved one. So a place of refuge would be a great comfort and a great help for those people finding themselves in that situation. But it wasn't for everyone. There was a determination made as to whether that city was to be a refuge for the people fleeing to it. And we do have in our society, of course, criteria for who counts as a refugee to come into Canada and so on. So this is not unusual, but these are particular criteria for a very specific instant and a very specific situation. The refuge was for the person, as I mentioned a moment ago, who had accidentally killed somebody else. The word unawares means inadvertent. In other words, it wasn't on purpose. Somebody didn't say, well, I'm going to get a gun and I'm going to shoot that person. I'm going to get a bow, an arrow. I'm going to get a sword. I'm going to kill that person. I'm going to do something to that person. It wasn't made ahead of time. That's unawares, means inadvertent, an inadvertent transgression out of error or ignorance. Unwittingly, it's a word we use every day, isn't it? Well, maybe not, but I think we get the idea of it. Unwittingly means without knowledge or consciousness. In other words, their wits weren't about them when they did it. They didn't intentionally say, I am going to do this. We have the difference today, don't we? Premeditated murder versus manslaughter. And there's all kinds of different definitions, of course, within those things. But if a person accidentally killed somebody, not premeditated, not out of hatred, they could flee to a city of refuge and be safe there. That was a place that they could go. It had to be determined that they fit the criteria to go. These cities of protection were for the inadvertent killer, not the murderer. And so when the person was seeking refuge, as we read in verse 4, they would come to the outside of the city. They would say to the elders of the city, hey, this is what happened. I didn't mean to kill this person, but this is what took place. Please let me have refuge in your city. And it would be determined at that point whether they would fit that criteria or not. In Numbers 35, verses 16 to 18, it's clear that an intentional murderer was not to find refuge in the city of refuge. if they had premeditated and intentionally gone out and killed somebody, the city of refuge was not for them. The Bible tells us back in Numbers 35 that in Israel, if a person intentionally killed another person, that capital punishment was their desert, that they would be tried, found guilty, put to death themselves. And so this place of refuge was not to harbor murderers, but to protect those who accidentally took the life of another. Again, there's a big difference between the two. There was a trial that would determine, again, whether that criteria was met, as it said in verse 6, that that person would be able to stay there until they could stand before the congregation for judgment. Do they fit the bill? Are these people legitimately innocent of a premeditated crime? And so it was a refuge. It was a refuge for the Israelites. It was a refuge for the strangers that dwelt in Israel. People who lived amongst the Israelites were also welcome to go to the city of refuge as long as they fit the criteria that was determined. And there was a duration of time. How long could that person stay? If it was determined that they fit that criteria, how long were they allowed to stay in the city of refuge? Well, realize that, of course, as long as he did stay, he was safe. As soon as he stepped outside the walls of that city, he was no longer protected by the protection of being in the city of refuge. But if he would stay within that city, he was allowed to stay until at least two things had happened. The first one, until he'd had that trial before the congregation. If it was determined at that time that this was a premeditated murder, he was not permitted to stay. He would have to leave. It was determined that he was not guilty of a premeditated crime, then he was to stay until the death of the high priest. You say, how long was that? Well, that would depend on how old the high priest was at that time. The high priest at that time in Israel were chosen for life. So it could be that that person would be there for a long time. Or it may be near the end of the priest's life, and it may be a shorter time. But as long as they were there, they were safe. And what a comfort it would be for that person to know, I'm safe here. I don't need to worry. The people of the city were surrounding them to protect them. The walls of the city were surrounding them to protect them. The law was on their side to protect them. They did not have to fear for their life. They would go home back to their own place of residence, initial residence. This city must have felt like home, especially if they were there for a number of years of time. What a great comfort to have a place of refuge. What was the place called? Well, there were six of them spread throughout Israel. God had said there'd be six. The Israelites chose which six they were with the understanding of the purpose of them. We read the names just a moment ago, and I thought it was interesting. I did a little bit of a word study on the names of the places. Why did Israel choose them? Well, geographically, it made sense, as we'll see in a moment. But the appellation or the names, the meaning of the names, the word Kadesh was the first place, and the name means a sanctuary. That's appropriate, isn't it? The city of refuge was a sanctuary, a place of refuge. That was one of the definitions of the word refuge. It sounded like it would be a beautiful place. Kadesh or Kadesh. I don't know, maybe I'm saying it wrong, but it's a place that fits the name. Shechem means shoulder or back. Well, shoulder indicates strength, doesn't it? Put your shoulder to the plow. It's an indication of strength. The back, of course, as well, strength, and also reminds us of the expression, hey, I've got your back. Wasn't that what the place was for? Where the people of that city came around about that person who had fled there for refuge, and they said, hey, listen, we're watching out for you. We have your back. Another one was Hebron, which means a community or alliance. Again, that group of people that came around them, allies that said, hey, we believe your story. We believe it was an accident. We will come around you and be with you at this time. To have an ally in a time of need is a great comfort. It's a great encouragement. Next one was Bezer, which means gold or ore. See, how does that fit in? Well, what does gold represent? Wealth. What could be more valuable than a place of safety in need? And here was a place of safety. What a great value it was to know that you could go somewhere where you could be protected. Ramoth means heights. And again, the heights would indicate the place of safety, as often the Bible speaks about God being a place of refuge, our high tower. And so the heights would speak of that refuge, that place of safety. And then Golan means exile or circle. And in a sense, the refugee was in exile, weren't they? They couldn't just go home. They were exiled from home, exiled in a place that was safe, where they were circled about with the protection of other people. Interesting that those cities were chosen, and whether they were chosen for their names or not, it definitely is an interesting study to think about how fitting those places are. But we see the accessibility of these six places. And if we had a map up on the wall behind me here, we would see that those cities were fairly equally spread out throughout the land of Israel. There were places that were spread out so that people could go very quickly in time of need. It was not a random placement. It wasn't, we haven't done anything special for the tribe of Manasseh yet. What should we? Let's put a city of refuge there. That'll keep them happy. No, they were placed specifically because of their accessibility and because of their location. Joshua and the Israelites chose the specific cities, but God had said there would be three on each side of the Jordan. Why? Because that made it accessible to people on both sides of the Jordan. It is said that by their location, anyone in Israel could be at one of those cities within a day or less. Obviously, some are going to be able to be there very quickly, but that would be a great comfort, wouldn't it? If you were fleeing for your life, to say, within a day, I can be where I'm safe. So they were spread out, accessible, because of their location. It is said that the roads to the city of refuge were marked. You know, I don't know about you, but, if I didn't have a map or a GPS or something, I lived in Israel, I didn't have a car to figure out, where am I going? It would say, where is the city of refuge? I've heard that the name of it is Hebron, or I've heard the name of it is Bezer, I've heard the name is Ramoth, but where are these places? So there were signs marking, hey, Ramoth, this way. So people would know, Hebron, this way, Bezer, this way. People would know, Shechem, this way. They would know where they could go to get to a place where they would be protected. A place of refuge is of little value if its location is unknown or you can't get there from here. But they were chosen specifically to be accessible. And so the purpose was the unwitting, unawares slayer could go to a place of safety. The places were named aptly and just spread about throughout Israel. But we may ask, then how does this apply to us? And I propose to you this morning that there is a person named Jesus Christ who is the place of refuge. And we see the application of these people, these places, in the person of Jesus Christ. Why did God tell us so much detail about the place of refuge? We could say, God wrote it down so Israel would know back in that day. And yes, that is true. But if we believe the Bible, and we do, that the Bible says that those things that were written to Israel were also written for our learning, for our comfort, to give us hope, then we have to say there is more to it than that. And as we study the life of Jesus Christ, we have to say that Jesus is a refuge, and he fits the criteria of all these things and so much more than what these places were that the Israelites had. You see, the scripture's main focus is to teach us about the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in the scriptures from Genesis through to Revelation. See, how do you know he's in the Old Testament too? The Bible tells in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who said, let there be light, and there was light? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is the Word made flesh. He is the person about whom the Scriptures are all about. We talked about the availability and the accessibility of the cities of refuge. Let's think about Jesus for a few minutes this morning. God instructed the establishment of those cities because He knew Israel would need them. Remember, before Israel was in the land, God said, when you get to the land, I want you to have six cities for people to be able to flee to in a time of need. They weren't there yet. The need hadn't arisen. But God knew that the need would arise. He knew that people would accidentally kill somebody else and would need a place of refuge. You say, what's that got to do with us? Well, long before God made the world, God knew that something would come into the world that would affect every person in the world. That's called sin. And God knew that because sin entered into the world, there would need to be a remedy for sin, and that we would need to have a refuge from the payment or the penalty of sin. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that Jesus was ordained before the foundation of the world to be crucified. Before there was a problem, God had solved the problem that would be. Just like He did with the cities of refuge. I'm glad that God knew. I'm glad that God cared enough to provide a remedy for sin before He made us. Unlike the cities of refuge, Jesus is not just a refuge for those who sin unwittingly or unawares. You know, we do sin that way sometimes. We hear the expression, the sins of omission and sins of commission. In other words, it's things that we forget to do or we neglect to do, and the things that we do intentionally. And I would say to you that there are times in our life that we do things that are wrong, that against God, against the Bible. We don't do it intentionally necessarily, but we do things that are wrong. But may I also say to you today that every one of us is guilty of knowingly, willingly doing something that we knew was wrong and we did it anyway. You know, we could say that if God established Jesus as a refuge for the unwitting and unawares person, that the refuge in Christ would be very limited, wouldn't it? Because how many of us would be able to flee to Him? Probably none. We wouldn't meet the criteria. We get to the walls of the city and they would say, if it was a similar situation, we'd say, what have you done? Well, I did this. Well, did you do it on purpose? Yeah. Well, sorry, you can't come in here. You see, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul said, Paul the religious man, Paul the man that grew up serving God and wanting to do what was right before God, he said of himself in the book of Timothy, I am the chief of sinners. And he said, God saved me so that He could prove that if He can save me, He can save anybody. See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of the payment for the person who slew another person intentionally was death. But they couldn't go to the city of refuge if they did it intentionally. The wages of sin is death. We have sinned intentionally, but we can go to Jesus Christ because He says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't say if you didn't mean it, you can be forgiven. He says you can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. He is a refuge. Praise God for the refuge that is available in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 speaks of the fact that Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. Those cities, those six cities were the only places that people could go and feel safe. Jesus Christ is the only one that you can go to and know that you're forgiven of your sin. There is nobody else. There's no religion that can do it. There's no other God that can do it. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved aside from Jesus Christ. He is the place of refuge, not just for the unwitting or unawares, but for every sinner. Oh, praise God. What a wonderful thing it is to know that Jesus is the refuge for our souls, to save us from the judgment we deserve for our sin. Accessibility. We said those cities were spread around so that people could get to them when they needed to get to them, so that they could be there within a day. They could be to those cities and they could find their way because there were signs marking them and so on. Accessibility, that the places were so located amongst the people. Do you know that what the angel, or what the scripture records, and the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, recalling the story of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, that his name shall be Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean according to Matthew chapter 1? God with us. Aren't you glad Jesus came to be with us? He's accessible to us. David said, Lord, whither shall I flee from thy presence? And he said, I can go here and I can go there. I can go to the heights. I can go to the depths. It doesn't matter where I go, wherever I go. Lord, you are there. What a great thing that God is accessible. Paul said to the people of Athens in Acts chapter 17, as he preached to them, a group of people that had so many superstitions and so many different religions. They had altars all over Mars Hill that were to different gods. And there was one there he saw to the unknown God. And he said, him that you ignorantly worship, I'm going to declare him unto you. And in the midst of that message, that sermon that Paul preached, he said this, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him. Look at this next phrase that he says, though he be not far from every one of us. Accessibility. The salvation that God offers is not some distant, faraway thing that only a few can find their way to it. The Bible says that the Lord is close by. He is nigh at hand. You may feel far from him, but he loves you and he is close at hand. If you're looking for a refuge for your soul, his name is Jesus, and he awaits you to call upon him. As a matter of fact, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great blessing it is to know the accessibility of our Savior Jesus. He would say back in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6, call upon him while he is what? While he is near. He's not a far away. He's not far off, but he is near. Have you fled to Jesus, the refuge for your soul? He invites you to come. He awaits your arrival. He's only a prayer away. It's a great thing, isn't it, to know that the Lord is right there. He's willing to forgive. He's waiting for the cry of the penitent one. God, forgive me. Lord, I believe in you. He's waiting. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a sanctuary. You don't have to be in a fancy place. You can call upon him wherever you are. And he is there. He is nigh at hand. He is accessible for all who need him. So what are all the applications of Jesus being the refuge for our soul? Well, we've spoken about the fact that he is the refuge for the sinner. Of that, there's no doubt. He is the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come. Think about this. We said the unwitting murderer was safe as long as he stayed in the city. My friends, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, you're in Christ. The Bible says you're in him. And he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know what that means? That means you are eternally safe in Jesus Christ, who is the refuge of your soul. Isn't that a great thing? You can't flee from his presence. You can't flee from the city. You need not fear somebody coming in and taking you out, because he said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, what a refuge is that. We've said that the person was safe in the city of refuge and they stayed there as long as the high priest was alive. When the high priest died, that place of refuge, the person left that place of refuge. May I remind you this morning that Jesus Christ is our high priest. And the Bible says that He ever lives to make intercession for us. He said those priests were not permitted to continue by reason of death, but Jesus never dies. He rose again. He ever lives. You feel safe in Christ, the refuge of your soul. You never have to flee from that refuge. You cannot flee. He is the high priest who makes intercession for us. There are many other aspects of this refuge as well, because we know that life is full of difficult times. Life is not all peaches and cream. There are difficulties, there are struggles of many different kinds that we face in our life, whether it be grief, whether it be suffering health issues, whether it be relationship struggles, whether it be financial things, and all kinds of myriads of other things and combinations of them all. Where do we go? To the refuge. To the Lord. To the one who cares. Psalm 9:9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Do you feel oppressed? Do you feel struggled? Do you feel cast down? Go to the refuge, the Lord. The psalmist said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast." Lord, I don't know how I can handle this. It's okay, child, I've got you. You're safe in me. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The psalmist said in Psalm 61, verse 2, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." A place of refuge. A place of consolation. Bible says that we have that which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. What hope? What is that? Because we have refuge in Christ. We have strong consolation, comfort, assurance of God's presence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14:26. Whatever your trouble or your sorrow, your difficulty in life, you can find refuge, help, and understanding in the one who cares and loves you more than you ever will know, Jesus Christ. He is there as our refuge. Those cities were filled with people who looked out for the refugee. They came around about them. They protected them. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be part of the family of God and have the children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be there in those times when we need a refuge, when we need a shoulder to cry on, when we need that uplifting word and comment? The Bible tells us that we are to edify one another, to lift up one another. That's why we're here. That's why God gave us a church. The application of the cities of refuge is such a wonderful thing. The cities of refuge were provided by God, a wonderful places for those in need. They were placed throughout Israel so as to be accessible for all, with signs indicating their location. Those cities remind us of Jesus, who is the greatest refuge, far greater than those cities spread throughout of Israel. There's just one Savior. His name is Jesus, and He is available to all. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He's a place of eternal security, not just a temporal time, but eternal security, because He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He will never turn anyone away. He's there in the trying times of life as one who says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He is one who says, "Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee." He's one we can go to pray to trust to see us through. I ask you this morning, do you need refuge? Jesus is the place of refuge. Let's pray together.